The Utah Foundation has taken two close looks at Utah's criminal justice system this year. The first report, issued in February, examined who goes to prison in Utah and how that population compares to the rest of society. A new report in July, Breaking the Cycle, Recidivism and Reentry in Utah, looks at why prisoners who have been released wind up back in prison and how the rate of recidivism in Utah compares to other states in the Mountain West. The author of both reports is research analyst Ashley Marshall Cantor.
Recidivism rates are a fantastic metric to just indicate whether or not we are putting our money in the right places, if we are helping people successfully reenter society. That's the goal, right, of our criminal justice system.
This is the Utah Thrives podcast. I'm Dan Bonas. Ashley will outline the key findings of the report, and we'll also hear parts of a roundtable discussion among Utah Foundation staff, board members, and others who were invited to talk about it the day it was released.
When we're looking at our key findings, we're seeing that Utah has the lowest overall rate of people under correctional control among the mountain states and the seventh lowest nationally at 901 per 100,000 residents. But when we look at the other side of the coin, Utah spends more per inmate than most other mountain states. So that, you know, those two go hand in hand. I'm not suggesting causality, but it is really interesting to look at those two different numbers, one very high, one very low.
Has that been studied as a public policy goal to reduce recidivism in Utah? Is that something our legislature focuses on?
It is absolutely something our legislature is focused on. You can see that in our state budget, 4.6% of the Utah budget is criminal justice appropriations. And so when we see the state legislature's initiatives, a ton of money is getting poured into our new building that new prison so that we can reinvest the Point of the Mountain area into housing. So this is absolutely a priority for policymakers.
Okay, and the rest of the key findings.
So we are seeing when we track recidivism trends, they are mixed across the mountain states. Colorado saw the largest decrease. Idaho and Montana were among the few states nationwide where recidivism rose rather than fell. And Utah saw that its rates fell slightly. Between 2012 and 2022, Utah's rate went from 19% to 18%. So that looks pretty fantastic, right? Only one in five prisoners goes back to prison. We're not necessarily tracking if folks have an arrest and they go to jail. In Utah, we are specifically looking at if people go back to prison.
So are these numbers kind of a vindication of policy that the state is doing the right things to help keep people from going back to prison?
I think so. Recidivism rates are a fantastic metric to just indicate whether or not we are putting our money in the right places, if we are helping people successfully reenter society. That's the goal, right, of our criminal justice system. It's not just to keep people safe. You know, if we have somebody doing something really violent, yeah, let's, you know, move them away from the general population. But for most people, that's probably not the case. For most people, something happened and there's some sort of rehabilitation that the state is trying to work on and then bring the person back into society.
But for many Utah inmates, what brought them back to prison was a violation that was not necessarily another felony, but a technical violation of their parole.
Exactly. Yeah, we were seeing a very large percent of our prison be populated by people who are back in prison because they violated a term of their parole. I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing, though. If you are leaving prison and you're saying, okay, great, I'm going to be on parole and I'm agreeing to live by this list of regulations, I'm going to agree to not have a firearm, for example, and then you're caught with a firearm, maybe that's something that, you know, we are increasing the caliber of risk here. And so maybe that's something that that person who agreed to not do that thing should stand by.
Okay. And what else is on your key findings list?
So we are seeing states with the largest recidivism reductions across the nation, being California, Oklahoma, Oregon, and South Carolina, share common strategies like sentencing reform, individualized risk assessments, and stronger employment support after release. We're also looking at recidivism trends across the mountain states and programs that Utah is also using, such as specialty courts, multi-sector collaboration, public-private partnerships, local private efforts, and pay-for-success programs. The Other Side Academy partnering with the public sector to help increase success of reentry. When we're talking about our standardized recidivism metric, Utah only adopted a standardized recidivism metric in 2023, and we are the only state that explicitly excludes technical parole and probation violations, which does make it difficult to compare our rate with other states. And then the last is that the indirect social costs of incarceration, such as family instability, lost earnings, and housing disruption, may cost far more than correction spending, justifying a cost on reducing recidivism.
What kind of feedback have you received from people who have read the report and that you asked to comment?
So one reader said, oh, okay, so we should just, are you saying that we should just reclassify a lot of crimes so that people aren't going to prison? That would really reduce our recidivism rates. Oh, you had all these drugs on you? Okay, no problem. Go back on the street. And I said, whoa, okay, back up. That's actually not what we're saying. You know, if a crime does reach that higher caliber, that higher risk level, and people do need to go to prison for that, absolutely. We're not saying don't put people in prison, but we're saying let's have the punishment fit the crime.
And so this was paired with an earlier report. How do the two work together?
So our earlier report we published this spring, it was about the people in our prison systems in Utah, and we analyzed who's in prison and for what reason, for what length of time. And we saw that a lot of folks were in prison because of a technical violation, some sort of probation or parole issue that they had. We compared rates of childhood homelessness. We compared rates of like what the people in our prison systems looked like. We looked at their race. We looked at their sex. We looked at, I think there were even stats on like sexuality. Like this data set was specific in some ways, but it also was very broad in others. That data set I would love to be redone because that data set was a little older. And so we do take that with a grain of salt, absolutely. And it wasn't a super large, robust amount of people. But that was really helpful for being able to see who is in prison so that when we are making policies to help with people successfully reentering back into society, we know exactly who we're making policies for.
So do you see this as an ongoing project for Utah Foundation where you touch on this again and again as you do with some other issues?
I would love that. I think it all depends on what our board ends up prioritizing. This may not become a big priority because when we look at the Utah Priority Project that Utah Foundation did a few years ago, criminal justice reforms weren't very high on Utahns' minds. And so what we typically prioritize are things that people are really concerned about or big populations concerned about, you know, things like cost of living, housing, politicians not listening to voters. Those are some of the things that we saw Utahns really telling us that they want policymakers to prioritize. And so I would love if we worked more on recidivism and the criminal legal system as a whole. We definitely see that policymakers are putting money here. So this would be something that would be great for us to keep following up on. But we will see if this is something that Utahns feel is a big enough priority for them.
Utah Foundation board member Bryn Ramjoy joined Ashley and Utah Foundation president Sean Tigan to talk about the report's findings. One key distinction between Utah and other states is the way it tracks recidivism, because many inmates who are released and then come back to prison are actually not included in the total.
Most states, so 35 states, track recidivism using just the 3-year reincarceration rate. So say Sean goes to jail, he robbed a bank, he gets out, he robs a bank within 3 years, he's a tally, okay? Sean has recidivized within this metric. Utah, in 2023, got our first metric put into law, and that is that 3-year rate, but we exclude technical violations because we're seeing those as a lower caliber risk. So say Sean robbed a bank, he's out on parole, and then he breaches the terms of his parole. maybe he handled a firearm. Maybe he, you know, didn't, you know, maybe he's at a shooting range, right? Like maybe Sean did something that's very Utah, like going to out in the West Desert, shooting some cans, but that's a violation of his parole. So he goes back to jail. We're not viewing that as recidivism, technically within our metric, because that's a lower caliber offense.
People in jail in Utah, we have one of the largest proportions that are in jail because or in prison because of technical violations. So we exclude them in our recidivism rate, but we put the hammer down on this technical violation thing. We're more likely to throw people back.
So your first time could be because of a technical crime or violation.
Yeah. So I did first? I robbed a bank.
You robbed a bank.
So I robbed a bank.
He did have like a not something technical to land him in prison the first time.
That was an actual crime.
Okay,
yeah, my actual felony. I was let out, and I'm in Utah. I'm more likely I go out to the West Desert and shoot some guns. I land myself back in prison within that first 3 years of being released. That is excluded in the recidivism rate.
In recent years, the Utah legislature has also paid particular attention to offenders who come back to prison repeatedly over short periods of time. Board member Bryn Ramjoy asked about the so-called frequent flyers.
If that is your situation, do they find that it is childhood trauma? Oh, across the board. It is low self-esteem. Oh, across the board. It is lack of skills. Oh, across the board. So are they seeing that the hurdles are similar so we know how to address them and help these people?
That's what we're trying to figure out right now.
I see.
Why are these people coming back to jail so much? Is it because...
Is it the safest place they've ever known relative to other places?
Mm-hmm. Is it because they're experiencing homelessness and they just can't find the housing?
Assistance with housing, job training, substance abuse treatment, and other help are among the programs designed to help prisoners scheduled for release or already out avoid coming back to prison. And Bryn also asked about partnerships with private organizations such as the Other Side Academy that provide support.
They work with people who have homelessness. They work with people who have drug addiction, mental illness. Are organizations like that also reducing recidivism? Do you know anything about that in terms of its role in this report?
Absolutely. So we actually called out Other Side specifically and John Vulcan Academy, which used to be Red Barn, participate in these programs to learn job skills, learn interpersonal skills, because sometimes we are just lacking interpersonal skills. And that is something that is a contributing factor to a lot of these issues.
Yes.
Other Side's fantastic. In the report, we also shouted out True Religion Pancake House in Utah County. They are a spot that specifically helps with
employment, job experience,
exactly.
A place where you feel like you can belong, have a role, get that self-esteem back.
Another Utah Foundation board member, Brian Monson, talked about a similar program, Justice Involved Reentry.
As individuals get ready to be released from jail 90 days before they're released, they're supposed to be put into a Medicaid program where they'll have case managers that will help them with housing, with obtaining medical and behavioral health appointments so that they're there and ready to go when they leave jail. Because that's really, you guys have mentioned a number of things that that bring people back into prison, which are not having the right home or not having a home at all, not having access to medical and behavioral health services and medications, and not having, as you mentioned, a job. Those are three things that are really important. So that's what these case managers are set out to do is to kind of it's a handoff from the jail to these caseworkers that follow these individuals
The report concludes Utah is making real progress in addressing recidivism, but said future success will require sustained collaboration between state agencies, community organizations, employers, and policymakers. The report, Breaking the Cycle, Recidivism and Reentry in Utah, is available now on the Utah Foundation website. We'd also like to invite you to follow us on Facebook and LinkedIn. Utah Foundation is a private, nonpartisan public policy research group. Our mission is to inform and engage Utahns with illuminating, independent, nonpartisan public policy research. I'm Dan Bomas. Thanks for listening to Utah Thrives.